We're blessed to have our speaker this morning, Amanda Vance. We're continuing hearing from students involved in missions and ministry and sharing their experiences and hopefully igniting the fire to maybe go out and experience ministry oneself, or if nothing else, getting the courage to see it is scary, it is different sometimes, but it is a blessing once you've gone through something like this. And so we're just thrilled to hear Amanda share about her missions trip to Nepal. And so will you join me in a word of prayer for her? Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for this day, and I just ask your blessing, Lord, that you would speak through Amanda, that you would just let her passion for the lost, for those nations, countries, peoples who don't know you and maybe don't have an opportunity to actively know about you, help that to spill out onto us, Lord, that we may see, Lord, that great things are happening in your name around the world, brought about by you through dedicated missionaries, ministers, and followers of you who are following your leading and your will. Be with her during this time, in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's welcome Amanda Vance.
Subu Bahaini. Good nice. Yes, that is what I said. Prabhu Yesu Krisko Nam, Jemosi, Mero Nam, Amanda Vance. In the name of Jesus Christ our Lord, hello. Greetings from Nepal. My name is Amanda Vance. And I'm going to be speaking to you guys today about my trip, my time in Nepal this summer. As you can see, I'm dressed Nepali. In the villages, this is the typical dress for a woman, for a mother, for a rice planter. Yes, they really do plant rice in these things. I can hardly walk in one. I don't know how they do that. In the city, women wear what's called a shalwar kurta, and that's the other kind of dress that they wear there. The line that I have down the middle of my forehead is the Nepali wedding ring. It means I'm married. They don't wear wedding rings unless they're a part of the fringe church really there. The other thing that I have on my forehead is called a bindi, and it is just a piece of jewelry. There's a lot of churches that don't wear them. The fringe church, however, does, because to them it is like earrings or bracelets. It's just jewelry. Behind me, there's a slideshow playing that has several pictures. I'm just going to have that running while I'm speaking. The pictures, most of what's written up there, I'm going to be covering. So before I tell you anything more about Nepal, I'm going to read a verse from Isaiah. This is Isaiah 49, verse 6. And I feel that this verse really describes the work that is going on in Nepal and the people who are serving there. And it does a really good job of encompassing my time there as well, I guess. And my call as a missionary as well. It says, "It is too small of a thing to be my servant, to restore the tribes of Jacob, and to bring back those of Israel that I have kept. I will also make you a light for the Gentiles, that you may bring my salvation to the ends of the earth." Nepal is literally the ends of the earth. From Colorado, it is exactly a 12-hour time difference. You cannot go further east or west to get to where you're without going closer to Nepal. It's also very culturally different. Nepal is a country of chaos. This was something that I had a really hard time getting used to. The driving, the traffic is like nothing I've ever seen before. It is insane. There's no rules. A road meant for two cars usually has four cars, a couple motorcycles, all across, just in a row. A road that was torn up to widen has potholes that are so big in it that they just put a fence around it because no cars can drive through it. So there's a fence in the middle of the road surrounding a pothole. Buildings, how they build is ridiculous. You can never tell if they're building up a building or tearing down a building. My mom, who was on this trip with me, asked me, she said, okay, Amanda, look at that building. Tell me, what are they doing? Are they building it or tearing it down? And I look, and I said, well, they're tearing it down. She goes, no, look again. I said, well, they're building it up. She goes, no, look again. They were doing both at the same time. Their structuring is not very safe. There's not really any blueprints. They just sort of build. Their government is a mess right now. Nepal is very topographically beautiful. Huge mountains, gorgeous scenery. It also has a lot of natural resources. However, the government is very corrupt, and so Nepal is also a very poor country. In November, so next month, they are going to be holding elections in the middle of November. And this is very important. There's something in Nepal that there's people in the government that want to make Nepal a central tourist human trafficking place for, and that's the best way that I know how to describe it. And those people are up for election. So we need to be praying for Nepal that that does not happen, that those people will not be elected, and instead that godly leaders will be brought up. The people of Nepal do not have a common sense. And that's what creates chaos. We know that we serve a God of order, not of disorder. Nepalis serve many gods. Their idols, I don't even know, down every single street, there are idols, I don't even know how many, but anywhere you walk, you're going to see some kind of a Hindu temple or a Buddhist temple. One of the biggest Buddhist temples in the world is actually not far outside of Kathmandu in a little suburb called Bodha. We actually visited there, and it is huge. It was built in the 1500s, and it's the biggest one known in the world today. Most of our time there was spent with Bob and Debbie Adhikari, who have been missionaries in Nepal for 21 years. The first 10 years of their life in Nepal was spent in what's called the Terai, and that's the village areas. And they planted two churches there. And out of those two churches have come 43, three of which are in India. And that's just in 10 years, 43 churches in 10 years. And they're all friends churches. It's the only church in the Terai. They were the first missionaries to that area. Nobody had heard the gospel in that area, and so it's very, very new. There's still a lot of dangers in being a Christian there. There's a lot of persecution for the church within Nepal, especially within the Terai. We did spend some time in the Terai. We spent 3 days there speaking and visiting people that that Bob and Debbie knew that were from their churches. We visited three churches, and we got to visit that were all part, all three of those churches were a part of the Friends yearly meeting. And their yearly meeting is a little bit different. There's 3,000 people that gather for one day and meet together to worship and to praise God and to do business. The first town that we visited, or the first village, was about 15,000 people. It's called Sisotia. And in Sisotia, we got to visit Bob and Debbie's first home. We also got to walk through, in the dark, through narrow alleyways and mud and water and who knows what else, and go to a rooftop Bible study. And there was 80 to 100 people gathered on the top of a stranger's home. Some people knew who it was, some people didn't know who it was. They just knew that that's where they were meeting for that night. The second town that we visited is called Malungwa, and that's about 25,000 people. And in Malungwa, it's considered the capital. From Sisotia to Malungwa is a short drive, but it's very bumpy. And there we met there and had a Friends Women's Area meeting. And there was women that came from all over. There was women that rode 6 hours in a bus, and there were some women that rode 3 hours in an ox cart. I rode in an ox cart for about 15 minutes. That was enough for me. Don't ever want to ride in one for 3 hours. That was really bad. So their dedication to come and to worship and to be together was very moving. They were very welcoming. And to see the work of God working in their lives, to see their passion for Christ and their passion for his love and for his work, and how much they loved being a part of the church and how much they loved worshiping God, was really different. And they worship in a different way than we do here. They like to dance. They sing very loudly. They talk very loudly. The Nepali language is very exuberant. And to be a part of that was just really fantastic. The third village that we visited was in Nalwalkar, and this is where the youth meeting was. We met several of the youth. Some of them had ridden 15 miles in 115-degree weather on their bicycles to come and meet. And again, just the presence of God was really in that place. And to see these, you know, 11 to 21-year-olds coming and praising God together, writing songs in worship and writing poems in worship was just a huge blessing to my mom and I. Most of our time in Nepal was spent at a place called New Leaf Aftercare Home. And New Leaf is a home for girls who have been rescued out of human trafficking. There's five girls in the home right now, and they're waiting on a sixth one to come. They're from ages 10 to 15. And their pictures will be flashing up here in a minute. The oldest is Nirmala, and she was rescued out of trafficking, and she's the only one who's by definition actually been trafficked. And she loves to sing. Nirmala is always singing songs. She hasn't accepted Christ yet, but the way that she sings knows that gives me hope that she will, because she sings praise songs for whether we're standing in line for the pool or she's cooking in the kitchen, whatever she is doing, she is singing praise songs. Tanisha is the youngest, and she's 10. And Tanisha is a joker. No matter, every day she would wake up with a new joke to tell us, something that she was going away to the village or that she didn't have school that morning. And then she'd say, "Oh, I'm just joking." Kasum is, she's 14. And Kasum has been at New Leaf for about 4 months now, I guess. And she has a lot of anger problems. And this is a direct result of what Christ, with your life without Christ, is like. Because her anger, she allows her anger to rule in her heart instead of God to rule in her heart. And it's very evident to see. And that's the way that most Nepalis are. And it's very sad. It's very hard to work with. Anu is one of the leaders in the home. She is almost 15. And she has been at New Leaf for a year. My mom and I both had a lot of conversations with Anu about missions work, about being a missionary, and she has a heart for God and for his work and for his message, and it's her hope that someday she will be able to go back to her village and share Christ with her parents, with her mom and her stepdad, and to see her village come to Christ. The last girl is age 4, and she's actually the daughter of one of the mothers who's there. And she's more of a prevention from human trafficking. She wasn't actually trafficked, and neither was her mom. However, she was an at-risk child, and her name is Elisa. And Elisa doesn't have a dad in the picture. Her mom was very, very poor. She lived in an outskirt village, in the Terai, close to the border. And everything about her was at risk to be human trafficked. So The fact that she's at New Leaf with her mother is really more of a prevention. When they hired her mom to be a house mother, to be part of their staff, they had no idea that she had a four-year-old daughter. And so it's been difficult for them and a lot of adjustments. However, it's also the grace of God at work to have her there. There's five staff. There's a guard, a house mom, or three house moms, and a cook who's the guard's wife. Most of our time at New Leaf was spent doing with the girls, helping them with homework, helping them with language, learning English, teaching us Nepali, and building relationships. We also did a lot of conflict management. When you have five teenage girls in a house, there's going to be conflict. Add human trafficked and sexually abused to that, and there's going to be even more conflict. Add anger and take Christ out of the equation, and there's going to be even more conflict. So we were able to do a lot of Bible studies with these girls. We did a couple of workshops. There were some other interns there that helped us with this as well, teaching them about feelings. In the Nepali language, there's no words for feelings. There's no words for I feel angry at you or I feel hurt, my heart hurts. There's no expression for that. And so to teach them that you have these emotions, that you're not crazy, and there's a real way to deal with them, a good way to deal with them, a healthy way to deal with them. The other thing that we taught was about body language. They had no idea that when you're talking to somebody, if you're in their face, that is going to, even if you're saying nice things, is going to communicate something bad and be threatening. The work of God in the lives of these girls is amazing. The grace of God is amazing. They were taken out of some of the most horrible situations, and they have been brought into God's grace and put into a loving home, a home where they have an opportunity to meet the Savior of the world, to take the chaos out of their lives, and to move into a relationship with our holy God. There's several different kinds of human trafficking, and we had most of them in the New Leaf home. Most of the girls who have been out of most of those situations. There's human trafficking that you can be taken by somebody who is and sold, taken from your home, kidnapped, or if you don't have a home, given a job, and taken across the border to India. That's very common in Nepal, and that's where Nirmala was on her way to before. There's an organization called Tiny Hands, and they do border checks along, and that's how they found Nirmala was being trafficked across the border. And they ask questions like, you know, how long have you been married? Who's your father-in-law? If they see somebody suspicious, they'll pull them aside, separate the couple, and start asking questions. There's other organizations like where the other girls came from. There's an organization called Shakti Samwa, and this is where the other four girls lived before they came to New Leaf. And Shakti Samwa is a crisis help organization. So if there's abuse going on in the home, that's another form of trafficking, that a stepdad or an uncle or a dad's friend can come in and be abusive towards the daughter. And then the third kind is when the parents sell their daughter. And we did have one girl who was at New Leaf who had her mother had sold her in order to pay for her drinking problem. And I tell you this because to know where these girls are coming from, to know that this stuff is real, this is their life, this is what they dealt with for the first, you know, 8 to 10 years of their life. And the grace of God is very real too, because these girls have smiles on their faces today. They have joy in their lives today. They have hopes and they have dreams. And to see how God can move a person from the worst place possible into his grace, it's phenomenal. It's something I've had a hard time processing, but I'm still working on processing. But God's grace is phenomenal, and he wants that for each one of us. He wants that to the ends of the earth. He wants that in Haviland, and he wants that in Nepal. Our theme verses for our trip was Ephesians chapter 3, and there's a lot of you who I know were praying for my mom and I while we were gone. There's people here that had supported us as well, and this trip would not have been possible without the support and the prayers of the people around us that chose to support us and be a part of our trip with us. And so if you haven't had the chance to read Ephesians 3, I encourage you to do so. It talks about Paul's reason. Paul talks about his reason for missions. And then he also gives a prayer for those, for the people who have been supporting him. So I would like to read that prayer starting in verse 17. "So that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the saints to grasp how long and high and deep and wide is the love of Christ, and to know that this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God." That's my prayer for these girls that we worked with in Nepal. That's my prayer for you guys as well. Last week we heard about, we had a call to missions, and part of missions is grasping the grace of God and being able to express that to other people. And that's what we were doing in Nepal, is expressing the grace of God. And so I would encourage each of you, no matter where you're at, no matter what part of the world you're in or what part of the country you're in, to be expressing the grace of God as well. So, as they would say in Nepali, Dhanyabad, which means thank you. Thank you for giving me your time and for those of you who were praying for us while we were gone. Thank you for that as well. And I would ask that you would continue to pray for the Nepali girls and for New Leaf and for Bob and Debbie in their ministries. Thank you.
Grace and peace, you're dismissed.